It's showtime, folks. Welcome in, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game here on this Wednesday. He's Big Joe Dubin. I'm Chase McCabe. Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier on the ones and twos, per usual. Jojo, what's up?
There is no faster 5 minutes in the history of civilization than 8:55 to 9 o'clock. There's no faster 5 minutes ever.
Oh, yeah. It's quick. That is for sure.
Boom, like I'm talking to you. It's 8:55. See you in there in a minute. And like, here we are. So welcome. My condolences to all those who are stuck on 40 West coming in from Mount Juliet. It's awful out there. I don't know why, but God bless you. And just keep your radio here. We'll keep you entertained till you get to work. So don't worry about that.
I want to start with a rant. And honestly, like I had another rant in mind, but then I opened the text line and this just kind of sparked something. I think this was a texter saying something to Robbie and Rex Road, but I always laugh at this because it goes, can you guys please clarify, is Nico going to play this Saturday versus Georgia? I've seen posts that he has brain bleeding, which I haven't seen that. I have no idea. I've seen that he's in concussion protocol or whatever, but I love when people are like, can you let us know? Could you tell us if this is happening or not? We know as much as you do.
I love it. Come to us for all the information.
It cracks me up, though. Like, you think we have the – yeah, hang on. Let me call Josh Heupel real quick. Hey, is Nico going
to
play?
Tune to us for anything and everything important in your life. I love it. I don't mind. I do know that there is a five-day grace period, waiting period, once you're diagnosed with a concussion. So if he's not cleared till Monday, he ain't playing Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, if he's in the protocol, he's not playing.
Yeah. So they should have done that on Sunday and see what's going on. If that's the case, look, if he's got a concussion and he can't play, good. I'm glad these rules are in. I am so glad these rules are in for concussion because
can
that
he
way,
play? Coach, he's in a coma. Can he play?
Right. So I'm glad these things are in because I'm telling you, man, back in my day, there was none of that. And you lied to the trainers.
How many
fingers you got up? Well, you got 10 fingers. You got 5 on each hand. That's what I got. Well, so you'd lie.
Yeah, right. And that clip from that movie was kind of making fun of that because that's how it used to be.
Yep.
It's like dude's knocked out. Like, well, can he go back in? No, he's not breathing.
They asked Jack Lambert one time how many concussions he had. He said, I don't know. I never had any. And they laughed. He's like, never had any because I wasn't going to come out of the game.
They didn't diagnose
him. You come out of the game, what's your greatest fear if you come out of the game?
That you won't go back in.
There you go.
Yeah. I mean, but look, it's changed for the better. But it's, I mean, ask Derek, ask Chris. I mean, you know, there's some they know of. But, you know, now I think sports and the leagues have done a good job of trying to diagnose those. Hell, we even see it in NASCAR. Like, drivers get pulled out of the race car and miss a few weeks because they have a concussion. They never did that back in the day. I mean, how many there's a famous story of Ricky Rudd was in a bad wreck, and I can't remember what track it was at. Was in a really bad wreck, and the next week they had to tape his eyes open because his face was so swollen.
What in the world?
And he had a concussion and everything, and they taped his eyes open so he could drive the car.
That's terrible.
Now, that's a different level of tough, but also stupidity.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You know, when they put the guy in the booth who the impartial whatever to buzz down, and immediately they were like, well, what if he's a fan of the other team? And he thinks Mahomes got a concussion. He brings him out. I mean, so that stuff started immediately about, all right, how are you going to police this? How are you going to do that? And look, you hope the guy in the booth has the best interest of every single player at heart. And I think he does. But there are always going to be those kind of conspiracy theorists who say no. Not at all.
Indeed. Big show today. John McClain going to join us at 9:30 as he usually does. Our Preds player will join us at 10. Colton Sissons this week. And then new Hall of Famer David Poile at 10:30, the longtime Predators general manager. So looking forward to catching up with David as he and Shea Weber were inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame Monday night. So we'll get to talk to David and get his thoughts on the whole process. He loves talking about himself. I don't know if you knew that or not. But but no, it'll be great to catch up with David and others. So I did something last night that – when I did it, I was like, I have to bring this up on the show because I am way ahead of schedule on this.
Showered?
No. I watched college basketball. Usually I wait. But Duke and Kentucky was on last night, and it was a fantastic game. There's your word. Great, great game. Came down to the wire. Kentucky won. But and I might have had money on it. But I
There we go.
But I sat there, and I'm
like, that's the reason.
I'm like, it's November, and I'm watching college basketball on a Tuesday night. And there was football on. I was watching that, too. But
how dare you lie to this audience? Did you simply turn on basketball just to watch?
No, I turned it. No, I did. And then I put money on it. It was a live bet.
Oh, was it?
I was like, oh, yeah, this is on. Let's do this.
So Kentucky won?
Kentucky won.
All right.
It's a great game. It's down in Atlanta, State Farm Arena. Oh, I know you won't watch college basketball until probably the tournament.
Until March. You're correct. The top headline on ESPN.com says Duke's continued cramping concerning. What happened last night? Were they doing the Lane Kiffin fake injury?
I never saw that. Maybe there were some cramps. I don't know. Did you watch it, Dr. Crane?
No, sir. I was actually putting up my grandmother's Christmas tree.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Look at you.
Look at you helping Nani out.
My grandmother and then my cousin was in town. She lives out in near Lebanon, so I was telling Chase about that. So she came over. We had a good time.
This a live tree or a –
It's a fake tree.
Okay.
It's one of those little
– Because it was a live tree, I could see you just beating the snot out of some squirrel that snuck in.
I'm not Clark Griswold. Come on, man.
Okay. I got you, man.
But, yeah, it's all set up, all the lights.
Evidently, Lipscomb and Belmont played last night. And
Battle of the Boulevard?
Belmont won on a three-pointer at the buzzer or something. Yeah.
Wow. I did not know. I didn't know that. Sorry.
I didn't. I just saw Mike Orton tweet about it.
That used to be, and that's the thing. Like, I get it, you know, and, like, people are hearing, like, college basketball. Why are we talking that? Like, it used to not be that way. Like, the Battle of the Boulevard was such a thing.
It was.
Back in the day.
It was.
And I guess it's we've just grown too much, and there's a lot of outsiders. But I do miss some of those little things, and they should be, you know, put to the forefront more.
I like, you know, and I kind of blame both schools for not getting the word out, to send an email to the radio stations. I mean, that's why our friend Greg Gruff over Trevecca will send out emails on sporting events, on everything. And you're kind of like, oh, come on. But I get it. Because every once in a while, like, oh, the soccer team's playing so-and-so, or the women's basketball is playing so-and-so. Keep the message continuously going.
Yeah.
It takes 10 minutes to send emails out to all the TV stations, radio stations, writers, and get it out there. Be consistent. Send that stuff out. Had I known that game was going on, I might have gone over there.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah. No, I'm 100% with you. 100% with you. 615-737-1025. That's our phone and text line. Driven by WilsonCountyHonda.com. We're talking about people wanting to know the inside information. Hair Metal Henry says, hey, can y'all let me know when I-40 will be cleared up? Could you call TDOT for Henry?
I do. 2028. You can go over there then and check it out.
When will construction be done? The answer is never.
It's bad over there, man. By the airport and everything, it's awful.
Yeah, I mean, supposedly it's going to be pretty cool when it's all said and done.
Well, when's said and done?
Your
I won't be here.
Your granddaughter might be a grandmother by the time that it gets
that
there.
Is so accurate. It's not even funny. Oh man!
By the way, I saw your latest picture that you posted of her and your note that you wrote to her. That was very nice.
Oh, thanks, very buddy. Cool. Yeah, I just wanted her to, because she was born. I was doing the MTSU football game. I didn't get to see her the next day. I got to Mississippi, so on the bus coming back, I was wide awake. So I just wrote a little letter to her just to let her know that, you know, even before she went home, that she was already ahead 12-0. It's always about
sports.
I love
that.
It's always about sports. So if you haven't seen it, you can go to the website, BigJoeOnTheGo.com.
You even you even mentioned going for it in the shotgun. And
I'm gonna teach her. I told you. Her boyfriend / husband, if he's a coach, will never run the shotgun from the 1 yard line. Will never do that, going in or going out. And I'm getting on the punt thing. I'm glad we have Brett Kern on. Because I'm telling you, Chase, these punts these days are driving me crazy. Again, back in the day, you had 9 guys, you had a personal protector, and you had a punter. Punts hardly ever got blocked. Now you got 5 on the line, you got 2 gunners, you got 3 guys back, you got a punter who runs to his right, and they're getting blocked all the time. I don't know why we want to get cute with football. Just punt the ball.
Yeah. Well, and here's the other thing. Like, with that, with the Titans specifically, you know, Colt Anderson is, in the crosshairs of everybody. Everybody wants Colt Anderson fired because there are some people that do not do a good enough job that don't deserve to have that job anymore. Like, Matt Eberflus in Chicago is probably not going to be the head coach of the Bears next year, and he probably shouldn't be. You know, I've made the case for Rand Carth on here. But I can also make a little bit of the argument with Colt Anderson of, look what he's got to work with.
Right, yeah, it's a good point.
Like, he and that goes back to Rand, but he doesn't have the personnel. You know, with Robinson and Vrabel, you know, they would go sign those guys like Wesley Woodyard or, you know, Bates, and, you know, that were special teams guys. And we've heard Brett tell those stories. They don't have those guys.
No, not at all. No, you got guys who are going to sacrifice their body and know the role on the team to go out and do that, and they don't have that. Look, it's not Colt – what's the guy's name? Colt Anderson? Hell, I don't even know his name. What's the guy's name, Colt Anderson?
Yeah.
Okay, I like that name. It's like Colt cowboy name. Like when the up back missed the block of the Jets game who went the wrong way, I mean, is that Colt Anderson's fault? I mean, the guy admitted he went the wrong way. He should have gone the other way. I mean, he was in position. Look, as a coach says, you put them on the field and hopefully they'll do the right thing. They didn't do the right thing. Is that the coach's fault? They practiced perfection during the week. You put the guy out there. Was it Gibbons that missed the block? I think it was.
Yeah.
Is that Colt Anderson's fault? I don't think it is. Because he said they ran it correctly in practice.
No, but
he stepped the wrong way.
It's easier to blame the coach than it is
right,
the players.
Because you can't fire all the players.
Yeah. 615-737-1025. We will discuss more with the Titans. John McClain at the bottom of the hour. Looking forward to getting his thoughts on things as well. We'll get to your calls, Jeff. Stay on the line. We'll do that. Coming up next is Chase and Big Joe, 1025-1063 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 1025-1063, The Game. Joe's pointing at me. I don't know if he told me he wants to say something or to steal a second.
Hey, by the way, go to the plan tonight. Go see our friends at the Omni National Hotel at Bar Lines. Once again, it's their If This Bar Could Talk songwriter series. Songs from stories from Bar Lines featuring Cassidy Best, Carson Byers, Sarah Moray, Jacob Rice, Alyssa Marino. It's free at Bar Lines. Omni National Hotel starts at 5:30. We will be down there tomorrow on the big stage, so go down there tonight. If you got friends in town looking for something fun to do, go to Omni National Hotel at Bar Lines to see their If This Bar Could Talk songwriters tonight starting at 5:30, and it's free!
Indeed. Joe, do you remember a player by the name of Nate Davis?
Came out of Charlotte, drafted in the third or fourth round in 2019.
I believe it was the third round.
Went to the Bears.
Not a terrible pick by John Robinson.
He was out of shape the first year he was here, and then they whipped him into shape, and he became okay.
Yep, and then he kind of got lazy. Anyway,
what about him?
In March of 2023, he signed a three-year, $30 million contract with the Bears.
Jeez.
He was just released this morning.
Wow.
He gone. The Bears are imploding.
Don't start it. Don't you start it.
Look, I asked you you and Jared during the break, would you kick the tires? And I got an emphatic no with some words I can't say on the radio.
What
and
did Jared? Jared said no.
He said F no.
Okay.
Basically.
Well, as you know, you think about it, you know, I told you what's what Bill Belichick first thing is when a guy hits the waiver wire, why?
Right. Right.
Why are you out there?
So I asked so this was first reported on Twitter by Chris Emma. He's the Bears reporter for 670 The Score in Chicago. So I asked our buddy Ryan Porth, who's the program manager at The Score, you know, hey, what's the deal there? Was it that bad? And he goes, oh, yeah, he's been a disaster since he signed here. Doesn't practice, not on the same page with the team. Healthy scratched multiple times. Poor performance when he played.
Oh, it sounds like
there you go.
It sounds like my dog in obedience class. just doesn't pay attention. Nothing's going on. No, I don't. You know, you got your money. No, you don't need him here. You don't need more headaches, man.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I just look and Vrabel and I think his staff got the most they could out of him, and they knew that was the most they could get out of him, and that's why they let him go.
Yep,
but you're right. But I mean, this is kind of where the Titans are at with their offensive line of. You see anybody that maybe played a couple of good snaps for your team, you go, oh, should they go get him back?
Well, you know, the talk was Corey Davis. Like, oh, yeah, he's retired. Yeah. He's unretired. He's coming back. No.
No.
No, no, you're just
Like, when you move on, you've moved on for a reason.
Right. You know, we talk about when they come back. Has anybody ever come back and done the second tour and been decent? I mean, Justin McCarron's came back.
It's not great.
Yeah.
Mariani came back and wasn't the same.
Right.
That's a really good question.
Well,
I feel like it happens more in like hockey.
Right.
It works in hockey, but like in football, you don't see it.
No. Even coaches, I remember when, you know, folks don't remember Johnny Majors. When he left Tennessee in 92 after Phil Fulmer did the coup d'etat, where did Johnny go after that? Back to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, right.
You know, it's like, oh, he won a national championship in 76. Well, it's not the same, and it hardly ever works out twice. Now, good for the guys going back and getting more money and trying to do something good and better what they did there for the first time, but it hardly ever works out.
Yeah, but, I mean, look, you see so many times that these players get that contract, and it just – they don't want to do it anymore. They don't want to work – they quit working. It's just kind of what it is.
They do. You're right.
615-737-1025. 0365 says, nobody cares about the Titans. Talk about something else like Hair Metal Henry's out-of-style 80s hair.
We can do that all day long, man.
That was pretty good.
We can't talk about his golf game. How was your golf game over at 12 Stones? Where's that place?
Oh, it's not very good, but it's fun.
Yeah.
I've kind of learned, like, my thing with golf is, like, I know I'm terrible and I'm probably never going to be good at it, but I have fun.
That's all that matters.
I just enjoy it. You know, it's nice to just kind of
What's the best part of your game, Chase? Getting in the car and leaving?
driving the cart, pretty good at that.
You got a favorite club?
Bar lines?
La Vila. R.I.P.
Oh, man. Are you breaking my heart?
Spinnakers. These are all.
Killing me. Before my time.
Panama City, man. Spring break.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm telling you, if you went through Club La Vila or Spinnakers and did not catch anything, you're immune to life. You're good. You'll live to be 150. Don't you worry. Good times.
Here's a 1342 Javon Kearse. When he came back, he wasn't the freak. He wasn't the same. But that year in 2008, he was decent.
Can I real quick story on him?
Sure.
So they're doing a Monday night game versus the Colts, right? And then the inactive. We talked to Keith Bullock about this. The inactive list came out for an hour before the game, and Kearse was on it. He had no idea. So Kearse left. He went home and watched the game on
his
TV.
And you told this story every time I bring him up.
He's like, I go, what happened? He's like, I'm not sitting there watching the game on that TV in the clubhouse. I went home. So he went home. He was gone. So that was halfway through the 08 season. He was okay, but Haynesworth and Van de Bosch and Tony Brown were so much better that they elevated him.
Tony Brown doesn't get enough credit for that D-line either.
Tony Brown was great.
Tony Brown was a bad man.
UT Chattanooga took all the blocks, took the beatings between the guard and the center. Him and Albert were. And that's the thing, man. That 07-08 team with Van den Bosch, the 07 team hit Aaron Rodgers that year and David Carr that year that I thought they died on the field. I mean, Aaron Rodgers came out of the game in 07. He couldn't see straight. And that's what we miss, man, is that all they had was that front four. That was it. There was nobody else. That front four got the pressure on him, and it was so great, man.
And a name that the average fan may not know, but he was the one. He was the architect behind all of that. Jim Washburn, Coach Wash.
You're right.
He made a grown man cry on several occasions.
I was there. It was Jesse Mahalona made him cry on the field. Yep. Made a grown man cry.
May he rest in peace.
May he rest in peace.
Yeah, but yeah, Coach Wash. Oh, and we've had him on. I mean, he's great. He doesn't hold back either. I mean, he'll tell. He loves telling the story. And the thing was, and this kind of – you can tie this into today with the Titans. I remember having an interview with Coach Wash one time that he was like, we had a board in the – you know, in his office or whatever that was like the $1 million club or whatever, because he'd get those guys so good that they'd go get paid somewhere else because Titans didn't want to keep them and pay them. Like Javon Kearse was one of those. Albert obviously was one of those. I think didn't Tony Brown went somewhere else? Van den Bosch.
Van den Bosch went to the Lions. A lot of those guys. LaBoy went to the Cardinals. Yep. Travis LaBoy.
Antoine Odom was one. Bengals, I think.
Went to the Bengals. Yep. There are a lot of the guys.
Yeah. I mean,
but Albert was the one.
Yeah, sure. I mean, well, and probably Kearse before that.
Kearse to the Eagles. But Albert got that massive deal at 11:01 p.m. And then he just quit. He just simply quit. Yep. And if Albert, if you're listening and you want to argue that point, please call in.
Here's the thing.
Because you quit.
He won't argue that point. That's what I respect about Albert. is, looking back at it now, like, he has said it on these airwaves of, yeah, I regret that. Like, I wish that I had, you know, given a damn more.
Yep, because they had moved him to nose guard. And he's like, I've never played nose guard before, so I'm not going to do that. And he caused a big stink, and then it was awful. And then he ended up, he went to the Patriots for a little bit, went to the Buccaneers. He had a Liz Taylor injury, his foot injury, or Liz Frank, and he was out. But that's, but again, that goes back. You give these guys these big contracts. I mean, it is like, are you going to come show up, or are you going to quit? Or quit? He just basically quit.
Yeah. 615-737-1025. Before we get to John McClain, Jeff, I know, has a comment on Belmont basketball that he wanted to weigh in on. Jeff, what's up?
Well, it's actually Lipscomb basketball. My wife teaches for Lipscomb, so we went to the Battle of the Boulevard for the first time last night, and it was great. Lipscomb did a great with their game day staff and everything. They hosted a tailgate beforehand. That was a lot of fun. We didn't know where to sit, so we sat in the student section. They stood for the whole game. They were loud. Belmont brought a small contingent, and they were really pretty loud, too. Lipscomb had a good pep band. It was an and one with 1.4 seconds that Belmont went ahead.
Nice.
And then Coach Aka for Lipscomb drew up an awesome alley-oop play from out of bounds that just was a little high for the ooper. And it was a great game. Lipscomb was ahead by 11 late in the game, and Belmont came back to eke it out. It was we were really glad that we went. Really, really glad we went.
Very cool. Well, thanks for the call. Thanks for sharing, Jeff.
All right. Thanks, Dan.
Thanks, Jeff.
Yeah, Battle of the Boulevard. If you've never been.
Isn't there another one in December that's going to be played over at Belmont?
Yeah, they usually play twice a year.
Let us know. We'll come over there and hang out.
Yeah, that'd be fun for sure. Coming up next, we have our weekly chat with the great John McClain from Houston. A lot to get into with him. We'll do that coming up here in Chasing Big Joe, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, here on this Wednesday, and every Wednesday at 9:30. We talk to the great John McClain. He's presented by 12 Stones Crossing Golf Club in Goodlettsville. You can visit 12stonesgolfclub.com to book your tee time. Experience golf the 12 Stones way. John, how you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you?
Doing fantastic. Have you done your presentation for Bud yet? I don't know how much you can talk about it, but
we can't talk about we can't talk about any of that at all. The results we're sworn to secrecy will come out the 1st of December once they've determined who the coach and the senior nominees are.
Well, I hope it all went well for sure. It was good being able to talk about that last week. We got to talk about a Titans win last week, but not so much this week. But what'd you think of Will Levis? I didn't think he was all that bad in his return.
When you look at his stats, you know, his stats look good. Now, that late touchdown pass when time was running out, that kind of skewered it. But the fact he didn't throw an interception and the fact that he didn't do anything stupid, at least that I know of, and he ran the ball well, I think they have to be encouraged. Now he's going up against the Vikings. Brian Flores is maybe the most creative defensive coordinator in the NFL. Levis is going to see things he hasn't seen. They beat the Texans this year 34-7 in Minneapolis. But the thing is, everything is get rid of the ball quick. You can't take five-step drops. When they blitz, they show blitz. Then they back out. But, boy, when they do blitz, the guy who left the receiver, Levis and the receiver, have to realize he needs to throw the ball to that hot receiver immediately. Some quarterbacks still struggle with that. C.J. Stroud had problems with it in the middle of the year. Now he's okay with it. But any time you have a young quarterback seeing things he hasn't seen, he's got to learn from it. And I think people should be encouraged by what he did in that defeat.
Yeah, speaking of Stroud and the Texans, how are they after that crazy game on Sunday night? Goff throws 5 interceptions, yet the Lions find a way to come back and win.
Texans were winning 23-7 at the half, and people were like celebrating the victory, and I had people texting me, can they hang on? And I said, no, they will not hang on. Because they are a terrible team in the second half. They haven't scored a touchdown in the second half in four consecutive games. They are, as I wrote in my lead on my column, Charles Dickens, when he wrote, it was the best of times, it was the worst of times. He's talking about the first and second half for the Texans. And they, the Lions are the first team to have five interceptions and trail by at least 16 points and win since 1970. And that should show the Lions, no matter what they're facing in regular season and the playoffs, instead of remember the Titans, they can go remember the Texans. Because Goff, Dan Campbell tried to say Goff played pretty well. No, he didn't. You know, they besides intercepting five, they dropped two interceptions. And if you're ever going to beat the Lions, that would have been it. Now Detroit is 8-1 for the first time since 1954 when I was 2 years old.
Well, John, you saw them up close and personal Sunday night. What was your takeaway on seeing the Lions?
The Texans did a great job of shutting down their run to one drive in the fourth quarter. They ended up 105 yards rushing, and they got like 47 on that one drive. And they came in averaging 156, I believe. So they did a good job against their run. And Goff did a good job on some of his passes, but the defense was the difference. The defense keeping the Texans out of the end zone, no field goals. Kyme Fairbairn missed a 58-yarder that would have won the game. And then the kicker for the Lions, Jake Bates, was selling bricks in Houston for Acme Bricks when he got a call. Texans had cut him after 2 weeks in 2023 training camp. The Michigan Panthers called him. He kicked for them. Then the Lions got him. He had a 58-yard field goal to tie, 52-yard field goal to win with no time left. And it's so funny, when the Texans got killed at Minnesota, we didn't rip them as bad as we did on this game because they blew it. They had it and blew it. So they lost two games to NFC North at Green Bay and here against Detroit on field goals with no time left. And Detroit, Dan Campbell knows they were very fortunate to win, but they ought to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl. But unless he does really stupid something like he did last year, going for it when he shouldn't have, but they are a great team. They got a lot of balance, and that's what you need today. They run it as well as anybody, so I think they are definitely capable of getting to the Super Bowl, maybe beating maybe the Chiefs, maybe the Bills, who knows, Ravens, you just don't know, but they're by far the best team in the NFC.
All right, John, let's keep it in that division. Let's go from the top to the bottom with the Chicago Bears. How many times has Papa Bear Hallis turned over in his grave watching what's happening with his team? Because this is an absolute disaster, mess, whatever you want to call it right now with the Bears.
And they host the Packers, and they fired Shane Waldron, their coordinator. When Caleb Williams is totally discombobulated, and they need to settle him down. He's not getting rid of the ball quick enough. Even when he gets blocking, even when the receivers are open, he's not finding him because he's thinking about the pressure. Now, that he didn't play that way when they were winning five games. He has played that way lately. I'm sorry, when they went in four games. They were, I think, 4-2. But now he's regressed, and it all starts with him needing to get rid of the ball. It's not like at USC where he could run around and make plays and then throw it the last instant. That doesn't happen much in the NFL unless you're Mahomes. So they've got to get him together. They've got to run the ball better. But they were pathetic. And I've said before the season, on every show I do, Matt Eberflus was on the hottest seat, not Mike McCarthy, not anybody else, because he had the first overall pick. He's a defensive coach, and the Bears expect big things from Caleb Williams as a rookie. It better not backfire. Now we all know he's going to be fired. They're going to try to go after Ben Johnson with the Lions. They'll want to bring in some hotshot offensive coach to come in there and take control of Caleb Williams. And they'll spend the offseason working on their offensive line. They've got the receivers. They've got a defense. I would think this is a very attractive job unless you don't like freezing your ass off for half of the season.
John McClain, is with us. HoustonTexans.com is where you can find his work. There's a team in the NFC that I'm really curious about, and I wasn't paying attention to them for a while, and now all of a sudden they got it, and that's the Arizona Cardinals. Now, I know that division isn't great this year, but do you kind of feel like they might be legit?
Boy, they're 6-4. It is unbelievable the job that Jonathan Gannon.
They've won four in a row.
Doing out there. And Kyler Murray's playing better than any time in his career. I see a lot of people saying, oh, you can't have a defensive coach as the head coach. Then you lose your offensive coordinators when you win. Well, there's a lot of defensive head coaches out there doing a good job, and Gannon is one of them. And I thought they were a year away. You know, when you think of the Cardinals, you always think of last place because that's where they usually are. It's an exciting story. It's a great story. And is this division winnable? I think the 49ers probably will win it as they get their people back healthy. But, man, the Cardinals have been one of the biggest surprises, maybe second behind Washington.
Yeah, I would agree with that 100%. We will have more with John McClain coming up next here on the Chase and Big Joe Show, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase and Big Joe on this Wednesday, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. John McClain, presented by 12 Stones Crossing Golf Club in Goodlettsville. You can visit 12stonesgolfclub.com to book your tee time. Experience golf the 12 Stones way. Continuing our conversation with John. You look at the schedule this weekend, John, and Sunday night, Bengals-Chargers, which the Bengals, not very good this year. Chargers, decent. I think I kind of look at them as maybe being a year away because I don't think Harbaugh has fully unlocked Justin Herbert yet. And then your Texans and the Cowboys on Monday Night Football. And I'm just going to say this as a Cowboys fan, just end them, please. Just end this misery.
Well, the misery's already been ended. I mean, McCarthy's gone. Cooper Rush is quarterback. They should play Trey Lance. And the reason is they gave up a fourth-round pick to get Trey Lance, who was, what, third pick overall by the 49ers, worst pick of Kyle Shanahan's career as the 49ers head coach. So they trade him for a four. The Cowboys got to see what they have. Now, Dak Prescott's going to be the quarterback, but the key is, will Trey Lance be a better backup next year than Cooper Rush, or could Trey Lance play well and then you trade him for more than you gave up to get him? Like, what if he played down the stretch and the offense looks good and he looks good? Everybody's still going to be fired, but then they can help the rebuild. And yes, they would. They need a lot of picks, as you guys know. And you might end up getting a three, a conditional two. You never know. You're not going to know if he's sitting on the bench and they're playing for nothing because McCarthy's gone. The worst thing could happen is for Cooper Rush to go 4-1 after this, like he was, what, 2-3 years ago, and them get a false sense of security. Oh, we're going to bring McCarthy back. But no, I think McCarthy's gone, and it's a matter of whether the Cowboys want to hire a guy like Bill Belichick. Do they want some other former coach like Mike Vrabel? I think Vrabel would fit in really well there. Do they want to go for some hotshot assistant? And it is still the Cowboys, and they do have Dak Prescott. No matter how flustered the fans get with Dak, Dak's still a good quarterback. They need a running game, as you know. Their line's not what it used to be. They need to keep losing so that pick just gets higher and higher.
Well, you didn't mention the name that – you know, it was kind of the hot name, which I would hate if they hired this guy. But does Deion Sanders have any chance in your mind?
No. And I think Deion wants his sons are gone. I think I'm told Deion wants to go back to Florida State. I don't see Deion in the NFL. And I think it'd be great if he went to Dallas because I think they'd be bad. But he is. His BS is good for high school kids and college kids, but I don't think it would wash in the NFL. I know a lot of things he's done at Colorado the NFL wouldn't let him do. And so I'd be shocked if Jerry Jones brought Deion Sanders back to Dallas, even though he lives there and has a monster home there. I don't think you have to worry about that one.
John, what is it with the Raiders beyond the quarterback? I mean, last year guys were loving that Antonio Pierce was their interim quarterback, and they're going to play for him. If they don't bring him back, they're not going to come back for the Raiders. That is a terrible football team. What happened?
They don't have a quarterback. When you don't have a quarterback and you don't have a running back, they let Josh Jacobs go for a little money. They could have kept him. And they thought Zamir White was going to be good. Their running game is terrible. And when you don't have a running game, as you saw with the Cowboys, that just puts more pressure on a quarterback. And when you don't have a quarterback, that makes it even worse. So it's not a good year right now for quarterbacks. Shedeur Sanders, I'm sure, will be the best. Carson Beck looks terrible. Oof. That's going to worry teams about the way he has played. And there's other Quinn Ewers at Texas, just threw 5 touchdown passes and no interceptions. But he right now doesn't look like a first rounder. So there's going to be a lot of jockeying for a guy like Sam Darnold. They can't give him a long-term extension in Minnesota because of J.J. McCarthy. So Darnold's going to hope to cash in. And because of the dearth of quarterbacks, he's going to probably get a lot more than he's worth.
John, Pittsburgh and Baltimore play on Sunday, and there's a quote coach used a long time ago which always stuck with me. It's like, whoever wins this game, it's going to be like, hey, we won the battle, but we lost the war. What kind of game you expect between these two teams on Sunday?
The way it always is, right now, it's because both teams are good. It's got to be the best rivalry in the NFL. It's physical. It's being played in Pittsburgh. Steelers haven't played a division game yet. Everybody's getting all excited about them being 7-2, and yes, they've done a great thing, and the defense is great. And boy, I tell you what, Mike Tomlin's getting so much praise for going with Russell Wilson, when the fact is Arthur Smith figured into that situation. Arthur Smith may have gone to Tomlin and said, we need to make a change here. So they're not giving him any credit, because a head coach does not change a quarterback if the offensive coordinator and play caller is against it. That is a recipe for disaster. So we'll see. I never pick against Lamar Jackson. I usually never pick against the Steelers at home, but I don't think Baltimore can afford a fourth loss. You know, they're a half game behind the Steelers. They need to win this one, because if they win this one, then they got a chance to sweep the series. I still think Baltimore is the best team in the division. I read today it's the 37th time that John Harbaugh and Mike Tomlin have played against each other. They've got a 38th, and they may have a 39th.
Real quick, did either of you see Mike Tomlin's comments when he was asked about facing Diontae Johnson? And he said, They have more significant pieces for me to worry about. I thought that was pretty funny.
Not complimentary at all, was it?
It was great.
That's the way he is. John, Buffalo, Kansas City. Buffalo is a very quiet 8-2. Everybody, we're talking about Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Detroit, Kansas City. Harlemay's talking about Buffalo. What are they doing right so far this year?
I watched the Texans beat them here for their best win of the season. They haven't lost since. And Josh Allen's playing great. Their running game is a lot better than it was early in the season. The defense, which had quite a few personnel losses, and people panicked at the time. But the fact is, they could have kept those guys. They had guys they wanted to move up. And Sean McDermott, who everybody thought was on a hot seat, is doing a great job. This is a great weekend for games. I'm so glad I got a Monday nighter so I can sit back, relax, and watch.
John McClain is with us. When you look at the teams that they're either, I'd say, division leaders or in contention for the division, have a winning record, what team stands out to you as maybe the biggest fraud right now in the National Football League?
Oh, gosh, I want to say Arizona, and then I think I look over at the Chargers. The Chargers have Jim Harbaugh. They're always going to be good but not great. They have Justin Herbert's their strength. They got a good pass rush. You guys saw Levis get sacked 7 times. But I don't think they're going to be anywhere close. And the Cardinals, 49ers win Sunday. Cardinals are off. They'll tie the Cardinals for first place. So because Harbaugh's Harbaugh, I'm going to say the Cardinals.
Okay, that's a good one. And then what team that maybe is middle of the pack right now, do you think, maybe not this year, but they're coming, and you got to watch out for them potentially next year.
Well, we talked earlier about Cincinnati playing at the Chargers on Sunday night. Joe Burrow is playing great. Nine touchdown passes in his last two games, and they've lost. They can't play defense anymore. Every year, people want to make them into a Super Bowl contender. I would think next year, the Cardinals, the Texans, the upstarts like that that need another year. People overrated the Texans this year, and they underrated, of course, the Cardinals because the Cardinals are usually last place team. If Tua Tagovailoa stays healthy, we saw last year what he can do with his receivers, and they've got great running backs and speed like no other team. So I think the Dolphins are always dangerous. They're 3-6. They ought to hammer the Raiders, 4-6, and then get on a run against I know they still come here to play. So I haven't written them off, not as a playoff team, but as a team that can win, have a winning record, and do some serious damage to the other teams.
John, Brian Daboll or Doug Peterson, who goes first?
Doug Peterson, I think Daboll was coach of the year. They don't want to give up on him. They know he's got Daniel Jones. That wasn't his pick. And Doug Peterson's got Trevor Lawrence, generational quarterback, and they are terrible. Now Lawrence is hurt. I think Peterson is gone.
I think Peterson's gone in the next couple of weeks, if I had to guess. I think he's the next one to get fired.
I'll be surprised, even though they fired coaches during the season. You know, what does that do for you late in the year? You might win a game or two. So what? That just costs you draft choices. You need to be thinking about the draft when you're bad. And you can never say that, of course, because you want to win every game. But, boy, when you lose, the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow is a higher pick. And you got needs, and the Jaguars have them.
Do you think Peterson's going to be a hot commodity as an OC, though?
No. I think people look at him as he's been a head coach now two times. I think people see him as a head coach. I see him as like going somewhere as an assistant head coach and by with one of his buddies and kind of helping oversee the offense. Texans tried to do that with Gary Kubiak here to bring him in the first time coordinator Bobby Slowick and work with him the way he had with Kevin Stefanski in Minnesota. But Kubiak didn't want to spend that much time. He said he's available anytime D'Amico Ryans needs him, but he didn't want a full-time job. But I kind of think that's what Peterson will do.
Going to be interesting to see. John, appreciate it as always. We'll talk to you next week.
Guys, my pleasure. Thank you very much, and good luck to the Titans against the Vikings.
Absolutely. Thank you, John. John McClain joining us here on the program as he does every Wednesday at 9:30, presented by 12 Stones Crossing Golf Club in Goodlettsville. It's always interesting this time of year to play the, who's next game? And I'm with John. We've talked about it with the Titans. Like, what does it really do making a change mid-year?
Oh, but not only that, but you talk about, you know, Antonio Pierce took over for the Raiders, and they were like, we love him, and they're terrible. I mean, now the Saints guys are like, we love the Rizzi or whatever his name is, the special teams coach. Like, we love playing for him, and they get the job, and they're just it flames out the next year. I don't know. NFL is – it's a soap opera. And it drives us crazy.
It does indeed. Tomorrow is your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click. If you correctly guess a Preds player that'll score a goal in the Preds game tomorrow night, you'll win a pair of tickets to an upcoming home game. You can participate with Robbie and Rexro tomorrow morning at 8:45. And speaking of a Preds player, Colton Sissons is going to join us coming up next as they continue their road trip. They're back at it tomorrow night. We'll talk to Colton next here on Chasing Big Joe, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.